You're listening to Game Play on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
First hour of the program here today. We talk beers. We talk swallowing bees. We talk some baseball. A little golf. It's a proper way to head into your weekend. What's up, everyone? Wheels up, everyone. Gareth Wheeler with you, sitting in for my good buddy Matthew Cause. Free-for-all Friday. Phones are open in 30 minutes' time. You call in. You talk. You discuss. You ask. Anything you want. Keep it clean. There are a few parameters, but not much. Let's do this. Phone lines open at the bottom of the clock, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. Text us as well at 1050-50. You can hit me up at Gareth Wheeler on Twitter and Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Some NFL talk coming up in the next hour of the program. 100 days to the World Cup. TFC back in action at BMO Field. Some thoughts on how you should approach the World Juniors this year as well. So all those takes and more. We're just talking. I love the FedEx Cup playoffs, the FedEx St. Jude's Championship going on in Memphis right now. Look, there needs to be some significant movement by the big names. Right now, Denny McCarthy, Sepp Straka atop the leaderboard with Harmon, Siwoo Kim, Hota Hota Spahn, one shot back at -8. For more on this tournament, more PGA versus LIV beef, I have no beef with this guy whatsoever. I'm the Mulder to his Scully. It's Adam Scully, at Adam_Scully, co-host and producer of Golf Talk Canada, as well as Junior Hockey Magazine on TSN 1050 as well. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Wheels, I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And I didn't get your conversation off the start of the show about beers. What kind of beers were you talking about?
So I was discussing how you would celebrate a 100 day countdown to a World Cup of soccer. And what better way is having a different beer every day in the build up to the World Cup? Yep. And then I remembered about this app that my buddy Lucas was telling me about. It's called Untappd. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, no.
So it's Untappd. And so if you're going to a new brewery or a bar, you can go on and put your ratings and figure out what people are drinking in that place, like what the preferable highest rated beer is, courtesy of other beer drinkers. So you can get rid of that awkward conversation between you and a server that has no idea what they're talking about, right? But what it also does, it also counts the amount of different types of beers that you've drank. And my buddy was telling me that his brother is up to like 4,800 and something different types of beers that he has consumed. And I'm like, holy crap, that is a lot of beer. But then when you kind of roll it back and start thinking about it, you're like, well, there's light beers, there's dark beers, there's all different beers under the same brand, and they all qualify as different beers. Maybe it's not so crazy after all. How many beers how many different brands or different types of beers do you think you've drank in your life?
Oh boy, this is tough. I mean, as you were telling the story, I did go on Untappd and it looks pretty cool. So I will definitely be downloading that at the conclusion of this interview.
By the way, I have nothing to do with this app, by the way. I'm not getting royalties. I'm not getting, it was just off the top of my head.
Yeah. How many beers have I don't, you know, I don't discriminate against any beers. I love IPAs. I mean, this time of year, I love a good Corona. Oh, man. I have no idea, Wheels. I mean, I like my fair share of beers, but I don't know how I could give you an answer.
See, that was my only complaint about this app is, like, there's, like, shame. And, oh, my God, I've had how many different types of beer? You know what I mean? But when you break it down, you could probably justify it, right? Totally. I don't know. It's quite the thing, tracking how many different, because you're sitting, you know, you go to your local brewery, you might try three or four different beers when you go in there.
Absolutely.
Right? And they all count. So I think it adds up quick. Kind of like my golf game. It adds up quick.
Well, I was going to say, too, I mean, like, there's beers to have at a brewery. There's beers to have on a golf course, perhaps. Maybe at the turn. Maybe if the cart person goes by, you want to grab a couple beers. There's so many different kinds of beers you can have, especially while golfing, too.
And you might switch it up. Like, anyways, so that 4,800, whatever, it, like, after or upon reflection, it doesn't seem so crazy after all. let's talk what's going on. Dude, I cannot get enough. And last time I was on air, we chatted about this. I cannot get enough of PGA versus LIV beef. Like, I am fully engaged. Forget the Tiger Woods era. Sign me up for this. Because potentially, I'd love you to be able to share potential actual beef between golfers about where they're playing is hilarious to me. Do you feel like there is actual beef going on between individual to individual in terms of golfers right now that's divided along a pro PGA versus open to live divide?
I think it really depends on who it is. So for like Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, there's definitely beef with a lot of the PGA Tour guys and them in particular. I mean, Mickelson, and now it's been reported through the suit earlier this week that, you know, he actually has been suspended and banned from the PGA Tour for trying to actively recruit players to live. And Bryson DeChambeau was allegedly doing the same thing early on in the regular season when he was a PGA Tour member. So for those guys, I would say for sure. But even a guy like Dustin Johnson, who has been pretty honest with the media, I mean, he's not one to really give that much personality or a long answer for that matter, but he basically said, he's going, you know, for a new challenge, and it benefits his family a little more, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, a little more dough for DJ. And I mean, you look at some of the other guys like on the PGA Tour, like Justin Thomas has been pretty outward talking about his emotions, Rory McIlroy, the same thing. We saw that quote unquote beef yesterday, the Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Smith, where Scottie Scheffler walked through, it wasn't even Cameron Smith's line. Like, that is such golf non-drama that I was so overhyped and overplayed online. I found that pretty funny.
Is it? Actually. Yeah. So to our listeners, if they haven't seen it, perhaps you could explain it and then cut to the truth about what happened. I tried to articulate it, but I think you can do it better than me.
100%. So at first watching it, it looked like Scottie Scheffler just walked directly through Cameron Smith's line, his putting line on the green. Cameron Smith, let's say he's putting straight. Scottie Scheffler missed the putt. He just walked right through his line. That's what it looked like. But upon further review, you can go upstairs to the video replay. Cameron Smith was actually, he was actually kneeling about, call it 6 to 8 feet behind his ball, reading his putt. And Scheffler missed a putt from another angle on the green and just happened to walk in front of Cameron Smith. So not in front of his ball, but in front of Cameron Smith. And Cameron Smith was knelt, so he couldn't actually, you know, see where he was looking for, I don't know, half a second or so. And Cameron Smith gave him a look up saying, you know, sort of, what are you doing? Which, it's golf etiquette, but he technically didn't do anything wrong per se, and like, there was, from what I saw, there wasn't any you know, any trash talk, any sort of thing like that. So I think this was so overplayed. Again, it's hard to describe on radio without actually having the video in front of you, but
the angle made it look like he walked right, you know, in Cam Smith's line, but that wasn't exactly the case. And Smith kind of reacted that made it play into that, right? But it wasn't like an angry reaction. It was just like a kind of lift the head type reaction.
Confusion.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which could have been any. It could have been a bee flying around his face that he might have swallowed. It could have.
Possibly.
So, but you don't. I think that these are two players that have had incredible years in Cam Smith and Scottie Scheffler. And two players that you'd hope would be competing against one another for the foreseeable future. But, you know, is there beef there? Like, despite whether he walked through his line or not, it seems like Cam Smith, he won the Open Championship, seems like he's going to become the latest pariah. And I'm just not sure how the players, like, we'll get into some other comments from players in a moment, but it seems like, you know, there is something rumbling beneath the surface here.
Totally. And in terms of pariah, I mean, you know, Cameron Smith, if indeed he does go to live, he would be arguably their biggest get in terms of talent right now golfing. He won the Players' Championship earlier this year. He won the Century Tournament of Champions at 34 under par for four rounds, which is a PGA Tour record. Then, of course, he wins the historic 150th Open, you know, a month ago or so. He's second in the world. So that would be Liv's biggest get, per se. I mean, like, they have all these stars who were stars or are still very good players, like Dustin Johnson, like Brooks Koepka, like Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson's of those guys who are way past their prime and stuff like that. So if Cameron Smith were to go, that would really be a huge get for Liv. I mean, there were also rumors about Cameron Young potentially going. Those have, for the moment anyway, been shut down.
Get a monopoly on Cameron's. That's
maybe yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Piercy, Cameron Piercy. Who else? Scotty Cameron?
Scott, yeah. The putter.
Puffy? No, I'm talking about Puffy.
Oh.
Scott Cameron.
That's right.
You can just take every cab.
Yes, every Cameron. But, you know, if they were to get Cameron Young, like, that would be a huge get, too, in the sense that this guy very likely will win PGA Rookie of the Year. And for him to, if he were to jump ship, and again, if he were, that would be an absolutely huge get. But as of now, those reports are not true.
All right, Adam Scully joining us here on Gameplay. I'm Wheels, @Adam_Scully. I wanted to address these comments made. Did you see them by Billy Horschel?
I saw a number of comments from him, yes.
Yeah, about potentially players coming back. Him basically saying, I've had some players tell me, I'll see you on tour again. And I said, no, you won't. Look, Billy Horschel, a good, not great player. Like what? A regular top 40 player on tour?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You know, decent. One, I'm not sure who made him the gatekeeper of who can return and who can't. That makes no sense to me. And two, if you're a golfer like Billy Horschel, isn't it good that some of your top competition could be moving on? Because, I don't know, you have a better chance to win and be better on the PGA Tour? It seems to me that a bigger pot of money, more money, no matter where it's coming from, available for all professional golfers, that is actually a good thing. So that's where I don't understand when the beef gets personal like that.
Totally. And Billy Horschel is an interesting case, too, because he plays a lot of tournaments in Europe. So he loves to play around the world.
Really?
Yes, he does. Yeah. So he also plays a ton of tournaments in Europe. He loves playing the worldwide game, which some guys have chosen to. I mean, what a great way to make a living traveling around the world. So I guess he wants, you know, the best competition possible. I will say I was driving around this morning and I happened to listen to Davis Love, who is the President's Cup captain for the U.S. coming yeah. up in about 5 weeks, I guess, or so. He was on the No Laying Up podcast, and Chris Solomon has been on Overdrive probably 5 or 6 times. And he really, it's about an hour-long interview talking about, you know, the Liv and the PGA Tour and these players who think that, hey, or these players who basically were told by Greg Norman, yeah, you know, come play one tournament on Liv, you'll be fine, go back to the PGA Tour. And obviously that didn't happen. Davis Love specifically told a story about Hudson Swafford, who has gone over to Liv, but he said, oh yeah, DL3, I'll be fine. I'm just going to play one tournament, maybe two. I'll be playing in Hartford on the PGA Tour. No. So that's not the way it's happening. And I think a lot of these guys probably are regretting that decision because, you know, they've lived all their lives trying to play on the PGA Tour. Of course, their bank accounts are significantly better. They have way more money, I should say. But, you know, there are all these reports too this week during that lawsuit, the hearing, that Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones were sitting in a car outside of the golf course in Memphis hoping to get on and play. So there's so much drama right now in the golf world.
I hope it was even a nice car. Oh
yeah, who knows? I would hope it had AC because it looks pretty steamy there right now.
At some point, there'll need to be some kind of resolution. Like, even Rory has gone on and talked about, like, you know, players not being able to have it both ways. But what it comes down to the fact is some of these, not everyone, but a couple of these PGA Tours that, you know, with players choosing to play Liv over the PGA Tour, that field thins out relatively quickly. It just does, just in terms of name recognition and who's popular. And that matters for sponsors. That matters for visibility. Like, you want your biggest and best names. I said this about Liv. They have all these golfers on their tour, no matter what their current form is like. But if you call them by just one name, you know who they are. Bryson, yeah. Dustin, mm-hmm. like Phil, Sergio. You know who these guys are. You can't go down. If you say Cameron, for example, on the PG, which one? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that name recognition matters. So I think that both sides are going to have to give up something here. And we're still in the early days, and I don't expect it to be done right away, and there'll be more lawsuits, and there'll be more litigation. But at the end of the day, doesn't common sense need to prevail? Like, what is best for the game? Understanding this new tour, the risks that come that are involved in participating in it.
Totally, and I think those risks are now being displayed more truthfully now, talking, you know, there are rumors about how these players are actually paid on LIV. Is it guaranteed money, or if they win X million dollars at whatever tournament, is that just taken away, or is that sort of modified that way? So there's still so many question marks around LIV. Of course, the PGA Tour has been, known upon about history and about trying to go win the 150th Open, or to go win, the RBC Canadian Open, one of the, most historic tournaments on the PGA Tour. But you look at LIV and, basically these are 54-hole exhibitions where players are being paid an ungodly amount of money to go play golf. It's still so new to me and so weird to me that this actually has gotten off the ground. But now that so many players are going, this is the new reality. And sure. Like you mentioned, it's going to be a moving subject, and that we'll be tracking every week, of course.
All right, let's talk about the tournament this weekend, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. What's interesting about this, a lot of money on the line. It's one of the prestigious tournaments. We're in the FedEx Cup playoffs. You're looking at who has the chance or who's going to be in contention to win this week. But also, it's funny, like, watching players and their overall rankings. Like, Adam Scott made a double bogey on the back nine yesterday and went from, like, sitting, like, 57th to 79th on the FedEx Cup, standings or list, and you need to be in the top 75 to move on to the next tournament. So there's a lot of moving parts here. So I'm turning to the expert, Adam Scully. What are you looking at? What stood out for you, and what should our listeners be paying attention to?
Yeah, totally. So for this first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, it's always interesting because a lot of the top guys haven't played since the Open Championship. So for example, Rory McIlroy, from a betting perspective, he was the outright betting favorite, prices at around 10-1. And at this particular moment, he just hit a flop shot in his final hole where it looks like Rory could actually miss the cut, which isn't surprising because Rory was quoted earlier this week saying for 2 weeks he didn't touch a golf club, he didn't see the inside of a gym. So, I mean, you'll probably see some rust being played off from a lot of these top guys. But once we get into next week and then the week after, which is the top 30, where they could have went up to $18 million. Pretty good cash. I mean, for the guys, come on, you go over to LIV, you know, you get your $100 million, whatever. But hey, $18 million, that's not so bad too. So
thank you, FedEx.
Yes, thank you, FedEx, in a big way. So, I mean, there's so many storylines here. I mean, many of the top players in the world are obviously playing in this. Six Canadians made it to the playoffs, tying the all-time record high, which is a great number in itself for us here in Canada. So it's a very wide open field. I mean, like you mentioned, right now the leaderboard, I wouldn't say it's a who's who of golf superstardom, with Sepp Straka, Danny McCarthy, Brian Harman, Siwoo Kim, JJ Spahn. Adam Scott's the most probably notable name in the top 10, which is hard to believe. But I mean, once the weekend comes around, you'll see some of these notable superstars get into the mix. And then I think once next week comes around, where these players have a little more tournament reps after taking some time off, and then you'll see more of these top guys.
Interesting. Really, I'll tell you, one of those Canadians cost me some cash yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Justin Rose head-to-head with Adam Svensson, who went out and shot a -3 yesterday. Rose struggled, but Svensson did well.
Svensson had a great hole out too, which big flop shot yesterday on the 16th hole for Eagles. So, I mean, Adam Svensson's been a guy right around 90 in the FedEx Cup right now. Top 70 make it to next week. He is currently tied for 44th, and he is actually projected to be 90th. So, assuming he makes the weekend, he has one more hole left in his day. He really has to make it if he wants to play next week.
I love playing. My favorite way to bet golf is playing daily matchups. It's just, yes. And there's so many variables, and there's so many swings during a round where you think you're home and clear, and you're not. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to watch golf. Before I let you go, so who do you like this weekend? Is it someone that's lurking, someone up near the top of the leaderboard? Do you have a proverbial favorite heading into the rest of today, where the second half of the group has really just teed off over the last hour or so and heading into the weekend?
Yeah, totally. So a player I was very high on for Golf.Canada on our edge picks, our TSN edge picks this week, was Sam Burns. So yeah. Right now, Sam Burns, he actually just teed off in the second round. He's played one hole. he's five shots off the lead. He was 30-1 pre-week. Now he is 10-1. So those odds have significantly shortened for Sam Burns. Second shortest odds of any player. I really like Sam Burns. Hard not to like Tony Finau right now, who suddenly learned how to win after winning back in 2016. He went 5 years without a victory. Then what does he do? Go back-to-back this year. He was seventh heading into the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's currently the betting favorite at 7-1. So really like, but I really like Sam Burns as well, because he's played well on this golf course before. Lost in a playoff last year when this was a WGC at the FedEx St. Jude Invitational at TPC Southwind. So Sam Burns is my guy heading into the weekend.
I love Sammy Burns. Anytime I can get a Simpsons reference in, I was on Disney Plus, but seasons 6 to 8 are just absolute gold. Yep. And I feel like things sometimes come full circle. There's Mr. Burns. There's Bumblebee Man with Doug Ford today. I was making a joke about Qatar, you know, switching around their first game because they messed up in their scheduling because they realized they had this extravagant opening ceremonies planned for the World Cup, but then realized all these fireworks would be lit off during the day. And maybe that wouldn't work. Go figure. But I'm like, don't they have enough money in Qatar where, like Mr. Burns, they could just block out the sun for a couple hours? I feel like if there's anyone on the planet that could do that, it's probably the people of Qatar. Just block out the sun for just a couple hours. They have the cash to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You would think so, right? Come on.
Yeah, they can tap into Saudi Arabia and everyone else instead of a golf tour. Just block out the sun for a bit. Why not? So, Adam, thanks for this, man. Always great catching up. Have a great weekend, too. Okay,
we'll
keep up
soon.
The great work. And please say hi to Zucchino and Weeks for me, too. I miss those guys.
I certainly will. And I look forward to downloading this Untapped app right
yes.
now. No free ads, of course. But I will definitely be looking forward to tracking my IPA intake here.
See, again, I should be doing marketing for this app. Not because of this, but if he's like, you know, tap that. Untap. Like, tap it in. Like,
tap,
dude, there's so much we can do with this.
Oh,
so.
I love it.
All right, pal. Thanks for
this.
Man. Adam Scully joining us here on Gameplay. We went long in this thing, but it's worthwhile when it's a conversation like that. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I. Free for All Friday coming your way in 10 minutes time. 416-870-1050. We're taking your calls. Whatever you want to ask, get off your chest. Let's do this. The floor is yours. Gareth Wheeler with you. And this is Gameplay, and I should tell you that Gameplay on TSN 1050 is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all of your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 100 days to the World Cup. Will the Qataris block out the sun? Are there any other issues that come up? Oh, man. Keep on hanging with us on a Friday afternoon as we count down to overdrive right here on TSN 1050.
This is Gameplay. On TSN 1050.
You play to win the game.
Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
What a tune. What a tune. Love Will Tear Us Apart, Joy Division. Last night at Danforth Music Hall, I had the absolute pleasure and privilege for the first time seeing the great Peter Hook in concert. One of my best friends, Jay, used to work at Danforth. Peter Hook, if you don't know who Peter Hook is, he is a bassist and he was co-founder of Joy Division. And then the band that became New Order after Ian Curtis, the lead singer of Joy Division, committed suicide. Man, he passed before I even was born. But I grew up loving and listening to Joy Division, a little bit of New Order as well. And Peter Hook split from New Order, I believe it was in the early 90s. And his band, Peter Hook and the Light, he travels, he plays Joy Division, he songs, albums, and some New Order stuff as well. Some of his own stuff with his band. He travels with his son. It's very cool. And Peter Hook played last night, the first night of two down at the Danforth Music Hall. I have no idea if there's tickets available tonight, but he's playing again there tonight. The guy is 66 years old, and he puts on a show. There are about three intermissions, but no opening act, like 8 to 11. And I was just so impressed. I've been meaning to go see him over the years, but I've always had a conflict. I'm in the One Soccer studio tonight, or I would be there tonight as well. But I had such a great time last night. And what spoke to me the most, Chris, I don't know if you know this about me. Some of our listeners do. I am a passionate Manchester United supporter, lifelong. That team... A lot of people in this city, like, they are live or die with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, they're, whatever it is, Maple Leafs, anything, they are all in. That's what Manchester United is in my life. And Peter Hook is from Manchester. I mean, Joy Division was founded there. And he came out wearing a Manchester United kit, like a jersey, Manchester United jersey last night. And I just thought that was so cool, and it's right up my alley. And there's something about a musician, a performer, someone of notoriety representing your team, right? Like, I don't care if it's like Drake and the Raptors, or if someone in a show comes out wearing a Toronto Maple Leaf sweater. Name your team. Like, it's just super cool when that happens, especially when a legend like this is in my town, and he's representing my team. Something that I have such a great affiliation to. So the music, the kit, he threw his jersey out to the crowd after the show as well. I just thought it was super cool. Very impressed. Head down to the Danforth Music Hall tonight if you have a chance. You will not be disappointed. An absolute legend, Peter Hook and the Light playing down there. Had such a great time last night. So yeah, just wanted to give that a shout out. And the Sporting Tie, if there's that artist that represents your team, let me know. Like, I'd love to hear it. Like, you know, oftentimes you look at celebrity supporters, celebrity fans of your team, and you immediately feel like you have a bigger, stronger connection with them. That's certainly how I feel about celebrities, athletes. Like, Tyson Fury is a massive United fan. Like, I just, I Usain Bolt, I tend to support those athletes and musicians more when I know they support my team. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. At Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. All right. The time has come. It's Free for All Friday. Chris, do the honors. Throw the phone lines open at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. That is 1-855-591-6876. The floor is yours. What is grinding your gears? What do you need to get off your chest? What do you want to ask me, Gareth Wheeler? The floor is yours. 416-870-1050. Free for all Fridays, and the phone lines are open right here on TSN 1050. Wheels up. Wheels up. Free for all. It's free for all. A free for all is free for all. Friday! Free for all Friday, right here on TSN 1050. Phone lines are open. The floor is yours. Have anything to ask me, Gareth Wheeler? Do you want to just take control, take the reins, and get something off your chest? Give me your hot take. Give me what's bothering you. Give me what's on your sporting mind. Or you can even go outside the realm of sports. Touch on something else. 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050, toll free at 1-855-591-6876. This is Free For All Friday, and the phone lines are open right here on TSN 1050. Gareth Wheeler with you. If you don't feel like chatting, you can hit me up on Twitter, at Gareth Wheeler, or Instagram, Gareth.Wheeler, 416-870-1050. First up, batting leadoff, Darren, where are you calling from today, buddy?
I'm in Woodbridge, as a matter of fact, Wheels, and thanks for taking this call. It's first and foremost, it's been so long since the host actually just opens up the phone lines and lets callers call anymore in the world of tech, texting and all that. So This is refreshing.
What a concept.
Thanks.
Hey, buddy, like, this is the best mode of media to truly interact with the great people of this city. I'm a man of the people, so that's why I'm giving the floor to you, Darren. It's up to you and everyone else to make this segment work. So go ahead, tee off or ask away. Wherever you want to take this, I'll follow.
All right. Well, my question is this. When I saw Juan Soto turn down $400 million with the Nationals, and the first thing that popped in my mind was, what is Guerrero's contract going to look like? Like, we got to pay that. That's not my money, but Toronto has to pay that out in U.S. dollars, but they bring their revenue in Canadian. So that's like $700 million Canadian dollars. Like, can they really afford that? And then even if they committed to that, can they afford the Bichette contract to follow and the Gurriel and all the other stars on the team? Like, is this Toronto team fiscally capable of playing in the big ballpark of the Dodgers and the Yankees to win a championship, or are we just pie in the sky in this year?
Yeah, Darren, the first thing that I would say is that the Blue Jays absolutely can. That ownership group is flush with cash. They can do whatever they want, okay? I think it's a different scenario on whether they should. I'm of the mindset that contracts, when you're giving out upwards of $50 million a year to one player, there's no way that you can justify that salary. For me, any club that is giving Juan Soto that kind of money is pissing that money away. Yes, you're locking up a wonderful talent, but we've seen over the course of baseball, if you have a Mike Trout, if you have that star player, a Bryce Harper, that does not guarantee you success. You need to build a team, and it needs to work within a structure. And once you start handing out contracts like that, the only clubs that do that successfully, by the way, are the ones that can erase their mistakes, like the Dodgers and the Yankees, ownership groups that are willing to do that. I don't think the Blue Jays are that kind of organization. So your options are one of two. You get the deals done early, and you try to give up a little bit more over the short term in order to have long-term security in keeping that player. Or you understand that you maximize that player while you have them under control. And that's why you always hear, when it comes to the Blue Jays, having contracts that are what? Controllable. And it drives me insane. It drives you insane. But there's a method behind the madness here, because they want to assure that they can keep those players within their cost structure for as long as they can. And once that player, if it's going to cost way too much, something that you cannot justify, and Guerrero might be pushed in that category, we'll see, then you need to decide whether it's best trading that player off, getting assets in return, which smart ball clubs do expertly, and are able to compete and contend relatively quickly thereafter, or whether you're able to sacrifice the current wage structure that you have in place in order to kind of keep that player within your mix. Look, I don't care how good Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is. Would you give that player $40, $50 million a year and think that would work within the Jays structure, Darren? Would you?
No, I would not, because it's not actually 40-50. They earn their revenue in Canadian dollars. It's like 75-80. It's like 80. It's like 75 million Canadian dollars to pay him 50 million American dollars. That's crazy.
Yeah, and on top of that, Darren, you said that, well, it's not your money. Well, it kind of is your money, because you're the one that not only has to buy a ticket to go to the game, and ticket prices continue to go up as expenses go up. You're the one that needs to buy merchandise. You're the one that's buying like a $12 beer, $15 beer when you go to the game. You're the one that might have them as your cable provider, your package, your internet. Like, there's a knock-on effect. Like, nothing comes for free. And this is what bothers me. You know, I've said this so many times about the NBA on this radio station. Mediocre players, rotation guys, are making $15, $20, $25 million a season. And yeah, it all fits below a salary cap, but how much does it cost for you to go down to a Raptors game?
Yeah.
A lot of damn money. So it does eventually come out of your wallet, Darren.
No, there's no question about that. My second question is completely a different topic.
Yeah,
when Kachuk demanded a trade, and Goudreau left Calgary, and Kachuk demanded a trade, and Calgary got lucky in the return they got for Kachuk, I was thinking right away about his little brother and how long will it be that he stays in Ottawa. I know they threw the captaincy on him, so that might hold him there a little bit. But, like, are American players going to be the kind of players that, if they're generational, like the next Eichel or the next Matthews, that teams are going to, like, if you're in the position to draft him, you're going to trade down and get rid of that draft pick if you're a Canadian team? Like, is that a smart business move to draft a Canadian American superstar or potential American superstar? I'm wondering if that's going to be a trend going forward.
Look, I would not want to put everyone in the same category as an American player wanting to play in American market. Didn't that happen with Jacob Trouba as well? Like, we've seen that with a number of players, but I think it just comes down to personal preference, right? And not all American players have that same mentality. I know where we're going here because then it comes to Austin Matthews and what his future has in store. Look, it's different courses for different horses. We can say that about Russian players right now with what's going on in terms of, you know, the war in Ukraine, how that's going to affect the mobility, affect the way that teams drafted Russian players in the most recent NHL entry draft. I was, from a personal perspective here, it's going to be really interesting how this happens. I was supposed to host a press conference locally with Khabib, the former UFC champion. I was at the event ready to host it, and guess who couldn't get into the country? Khabib. Because from Dagestan, part of Russia, he couldn't get into the country. He couldn't get his passport sorted. So there are still severe limitations on mobility of Russian athletes. Players are not playing in the tennis tournament here in this country because they haven't been able to gain access to our country. So I don't think it's just an American preference thing. I think that geopolitical, you know, status right now makes sure that any organization needs to do due diligence of who they're dealing with for a number of different issues. So
that's where I stand on that. How are Russian hockey players coming and going, do you think?
Dude, I have no idea. Like Kaprizov, it sounds like that is being settled, but until he is in training camp and that's unaffected, then we'll see, right? That's kind of the way that I approach things. You know, professional sports organizations can wield a lot more power than individual athletes like UFC fighters, boxers, tennis players, golfers. But we'll see how deep that goes and how the landscape may or may not change. We'll see.
Thanks for so much time today.
Darren, appreciate the phone call. Darren from Woodbridge batting leadoff here on Free For All Friday. 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050, toll free at 1-855-591-6876. Have a question? Want to get something off your chest? This is the time till the top of the clock when we turn our attention to NFL training camps. Gareth Wheeler with you. This is Gameplay here on TSN 1050. Was it just Peter Hook playing last night? I think the Arkells were playing a show at Brickworks. Does that sound right? Man, the Arkells, they are a busy, busy band. Like, they play a lot of shows, a lot of different places. Some of those Canadian bands, like, it's a little bit of a grind. They're an absolute success story. My wife and I took a trip, a short trip, just out to Prince Edward County with the dog and the boy, and we took him to his first show, first concert, 9 months, just having the big cans on, and he loved it. He had such a good time. We saw Tokyo Police Club, and I was thinking at that time, Tokyo Police Club is the perfect band to play a concert with the Arkells. Like, heavy radio play, some hit songs, things that you're like, oh, yeah, I know that song. You can dance to just a great summertime band. They played at a brewery. I think the brewery was called Parsons out just outside of Picton. It was awesome. It was great. It was great. So get out and support local music, ladies and gentlemen. Free For All Friday. I'll keep the phone lines open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. Gareth Wheeler in for Matthew Cause here on a Friday on TSN 1050. Overdrive coming up at 4 p.m. Next hour of the program, we're digging deep into some NFL training camp talk. With NFL training camp in camps really in full swing, we here at Gameplay, we've got you covered because, after all, we want winners. It is now day five of our NFL team previews. Every day for the next 3 weeks, we'll be taking a look at a lot of different NFL teams with team-specific guests who will get you prepared with everything you need to know for the glorious arrival of the NFL season. We're doubling up today as we wrap up our AFC and NFC North coverage and head into the weekend. Peter Bukowski will join us at the top of the clock to discuss all things Green Bay Packers, while ESPN's Jake Trotter will also stop by to give us the forecast in Cleveland ahead of Deshaun Watson's highly anticipated, highly controversial Browns preseason debut tonight. Can I share a pet peeve? Like, this is a massive pet peeve, and it works this way for all sports. When you hear a Leafs preseason game, they're like, oh, so-and-so new Toronto Maple Leaf player X is making his Maple Leafs debut tonight, or he scored his first Maple Leafs goal. No, he did not. Preseason does not count. This is not his debut. This is merely a first look of said player in new uniform. That's it. It's a massive pet peeve of mine. These stats don't count. Like, how many career preseason starts it up? No. No one knows. No one cares. It's warm-up. It's practice. That's it. So let's just contextualize in a proper way. Hanging out with our producer as well, Chris Horvat today. No relation to Bo Horvat. I already asked him. The World Juniors are going on right now. I have to admit, Chris, I've watched 0 minutes and 0 seconds of this tournament thus far. Have you?
Yeah. I watched both Canada games. What's up, guy? Why haven't you watched?
Well, it's summer.
That's fair. That's a very good reason.
That is it. That is it. And look, I've seen and read criticism of this tournament. I've read about the lack of crowds at these games. A lot of things, including ticket prices, go into smaller turnouts as well. But can we, for a moment here, just a moment, not try to crap all over this tournament? Me watching is no bearing on the way that I feel about it. And look, there's been a lot of problematic, well-documented stories when it comes to hockey in this country, and Hockey Canada specifically. I fully understand all of that. These things are being exposed in order to take the game in this country in hopefully a better direction, take it to a better place. But that is nothing whatsoever. Let's be clear about this. That is nothing whatsoever to do with this World Junior Tournament or the participants in this year's tournament either. Look, it's less than ideal that the World Juniors is taking place in the middle of August. I feel bad for everyone involved. COVID, blame COVID. That's what made this a necessity. Not to rob these players and their families this moment for these young men to represent their respective nations in the biggest junior hockey tournament on the planet. It's no one's fault. It's just the way that it worked, and you can criticize the way that it was attempted to be executed in a bubble last year. Look, it didn't work. A lot of crazy things happened, and a lot of crazy decisions, in retrospect, were made over the course of that period. But there's no way I'm going to crap all over this tournament. The reason why the World Juniors have been so popular throughout the years is the way that TSN is shaped and branded and meticulously sold this event to the Canadian public. It's a tradition like no other. The commercials told you that. And they're right. Every Christmas time, whether you like hockey or not, it's good old reliable. Boxing Day, you turn it on, and you'd be able to watch the World Juniors. So many memories, so many moments, so many great players have had that opportunity to represent the Maple Leaf. And they've done so with distinction on the ice. Off the ice and some of the stories that have come out, I'm not even touching that. But on the ice, it's a special moment not only for the players, but the families who've committed so much to put their child or children in a position to go on and do so. It's a tournament that's meant to be played at that time of year. Selling highly competitive hockey and a tournament that's being bumped to this date in August is a difficult sell. People are at summer camp. People are away on family vacations. People have their mind and attention on different things. It's just the nature of it. No one, including myself, was expecting this to be a smash hit in terms of ratings, in terms of ticket sales. It was just an unrealistic expectation. But I'm not going to be one of these people that come on and soil on this tournament or crap all over this tournament when I have so much respect for the commitment that it takes for these players to represent our country. It is special. It is something special in international sport to represent your nation. And unfortunately, in the men's hockey world at the highest level, that hasn't been a priority. The fact that we don't get a best-on-best men's tournament on an annual basis, let alone in the Olympics. There's simply no structure that has made that a priority. So this is what we have at the junior hockey level. Families, the financial commitment, the sweat equity, the time commitment to allowing and to providing the platform for their son to go out and play at this level. I mean, it takes another level to do that. And if you're not going to celebrate this tournament, at least allow the players and the families involved to go out and enjoy this experience and to have this moment in the spotlight, putting on that maple leaf and going out and trying to win this tournament. So I'll follow it from afar. It's not appointment viewing for me, but it doesn't have to be for me to be able to respect what these athletes are trying to accomplish here. So you let me know your thoughts on that at Gareth Wheeler. Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. 416-870-1050. Daniel calling. What's going on, Daniel? Where are you calling from today, Daniel?
I'm calling from Stony Creek. First-time caller, long-time listener, Gareth.
Attaboy, Daniel. Well, welcome to the program today. Where do you want to take this on Free for All Friday?
Yes, thank God. I'm 65 years old. I'm a long-time NHL fan. I'm from Stony Creek / Hamilton. Yep. Now, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Why do they call the original six NHL hockey team? Why is Hamilton left out of that? The original hockey teams in NHL, I believe, were Ottawa, Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal, and I believe it might have been Chicago. Now, bear with me. So this is going back 40, 45 years ago. Now, do you know how the New York Rangers became a team?
I'm not a hockey historian. I'm not going to lie to you, Daniel. But why does this bother you? Because there's only, like, the original six.
Hamilton was an original six. We were in the original hockey league. But anyways, the New York Rangers were bought from Hamilton, for
okay.
your information.
Yeah, I'm not a... Thanks for the phone call, Daniel. Like, I'm not a hockey historian, but someone referring to a team that's not... I was born in Hamilton, first off. And as someone from Hamilton, that wouldn't bother me whatsoever. The original six, they've been labeled that. They've grown as the NHL was established and formed and developed. And there should be a lot of pride with the Rangers organization, no matter how they were established. Same goes for all the original six teams. And guess what? Hamilton doesn't have a hockey team right now. So there's nothing original or lasting about it. Like, hockey leagues evolve and grow, and they have over time. The standard was set with the NHL and the teams, how they came through. And I don't know why that would bother you, to be honest with you. You can let me know at Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Our attention turns to NFL training camps next, and we'll start off with the Green Bay Packers. Is this Aaron Rodgers' last stand in Green Bay? And what to expect from a team who defensively look like a pretty damn good team and whose odds to win the Super Bowl, one of the favorites at plus 1,200. Peter Bukowski checks into the program next. This is Gameplay, and I'm Wheels sitting in for Matthew Cause right here on TSN 1050.